glad to see everybody, and I really appreciate David's beautiful songs, and he sang most of the songs that I really love that are really near and dear to me. And also, I love the theme because this theme ties in with the lesson today, hypocrisy. And we have to understand that practicing hypocrites, unless they come to Christ and also repent, they will not go to heaven. So we have to understand that. And so I guess that's the basic theme of the message. In the 1950s, the Platters were one of the top vocal groups. They sang a song called The Great Pretender. This song reached the number one position on the R&B, rhythm and blues, pop charts in 1956. Part of the first verse of the song went something like this. Oh yes, I'm the great pretender, pretending that I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend too much. There are many people today who are hypocrites because they pretend to be Christians, but are not Christians. So that's what I want to address. This morning, my lesson is about hypocrisy. So we're going to talk about hypocrisy today. First of all, we're going to talk about what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy can be defined as falsely claiming to possess characteristics such as religiosity or virtues that one lacks. The book of Job speaks out about hypocrisy. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. And so we see then that God does not appreciate a hypocrite. The book of Job speaks out about that. Upright men shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but a moment. In other words, you know, it's like sin. Notice that the Bible says basically the same thing about sin. It's sweet, but it's short-lived, and it's going to cause you so much trouble, right? So we can see also that hypocrisy itself is a sin. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he may gain, hath gain, when God take away his soul? In other words, what in the Bible also asks you, well, you know, what can you give in exchange for your soul? So when your soul is taken away, you know what that means. That means that your soul is going to wind up in hell. The New Testament speaks out about hypocrisy as well. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye? And we notice that people love that. They love to judge others. Oh, they know all of the faults of other people, but for some reason, they can't see their own faults. And Jesus actually is addressing this. And behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thy hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And the Bible also tells us to judge ourselves. Get the Bible, look at it, and begin to judge ourselves so we won't have to be judged, and then clean up our own act before we go around judging everybody else. But all people are good at that. Oh, they can tell you all the bad things about other people, but you know, they want mercy when it comes to them, but they have no mercy for others. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them, therefore come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. Right? But notice the hypocrisy of all of this. We know this well. Notice the hypocrisy of all of this, and Jesus exposes it. And I love the way Jesus does that, right? He tells the truth. That's the difference from the Bible. The Bible doesn't try to make man look any better than he is or any worse than he is, but he tells the truth. Even the best of the best, the Bible will tell the truth about even the heroes as we have in Hebrews. It just tells it like it is. Most of the other books do not do that. They want to make you look better or worse. The Bible just tells it the way it is, and I love the book for that. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall? So an ox or ass to them is more important than a person.
Now, you will notice the most important things on which the law actually, you know, depends have to do with God and man. There is nothing in there that says that you have to love animals as you love yourself. You have to love men as you love yourself. So they are loving then some animals more than they love people, which is a violation of the law. And each of, and hypocrites, doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Who are hypocrites? Those who seek glory from men for their good works. Now, we talked about this already, you know, about this morning, about not seeking the glory of men. Because if you've done that, then you already have your reward. God is not going to give you a reward twice, right? You're going to either get it from men or you're going to get it from him. But you're not going to get it from both. Therefore, when thou doth thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Notice that he's warning us about trying to get the glory of men. And that's actually what, you know, the hypocrites actually do. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. See there, God is not going to give them another reward, they already have it. Who are hypocrites? Those who honor Christ with their lips only. And there are a lot of those. Yes, hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So that does you no good. A hypocritical way of worship will not do you any good. You might as well not bother. Who are hypocrites? Those Pharisees who took counsel and tried to entangle Jesus while trying to appear to be interested in what he said. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Who are hypocrites? Those who pretend to be good but are wicked. Now, oh, well, we see a lot of those today. And we talked about that this morning, about those, right? All those people on the TV, oh, they try to pretend like they're so good. And when they're wicked, right, they're not following, we'll say, the word of God. And so therefore they're wicked. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Oh, you got to get out there and you got to make this long prayer to let everybody know that you're so good and you're so wonderful and you're so holy. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. So they're going to be damned for that. God will damn them for that. So they get no credit for God, from God for that. Well-known hypocrites. So we have a list of well-known hypocrites in the Bible, right? Okay. Ananias and Sapphira, they're well-known hypocrites in the Bible. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the feet of the apostles. Now, there was nothing that said that they had to do it in the first place. You know, because you hear a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, in the Bible they were forced to do it. They were not. They were not forced to do that. And this scripture actually will refute that, the fact that they were forced to do it. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? So he's not saying, notice there's nothing in here where it says that he had to do it. And after it was sold, even after it was sold, notice the money belonged to him. Was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Ananias was killed not because of the fact that he refused to sell his property and give it. He was killed because he lied about it. And so we have to make that clear. There was nothing in there. And so it is, there's nothing today that forces us to even give. But as we prosper. But if we don't, it's a sin. You don't have to do it. But what I have found out is that if I don't do it, it seems like, you know, a lot of blessings that I got, it looks like they begin to dry up. So I run and I give it. So that's the way I am. And so I try, because for me, I know God's word is right, and I know that what God says he's going to do. Took me a while to learn that, you know? A long little lesson, right? A lot of things I wanted to do on my own way, and never worked out. And so I said, well, I'll just try God's way. Maybe that'll work. And it works. It, you know, surprisingly enough, it works. You don't need to add anything to it or take anything away from it. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things, right? A lot of people, like I said, misinterpret this, saying, well, because he didn't sell his house and give all of his stuff, well, then that's why he was killed. No, he was killed for lying. And so the Holy Ghost wanted to make sure that everybody understood that when you're in God's kingdom, you have to be truthful. You have to do what God tells you to do, that he has the power over you to even take your life away. You have to understand that. That's all this was all about. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And so I'm sure that whatever all the little hypocritical things and lying that people had in their mind, they were too afraid to carry it through. And that's a good thing. Sometimes fear is not that bad. Fear is not that bad, right? So long as it drives you in the right direction, it's not bad. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. So now she didn't know what's going on, so she's going to tell the same lie. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And of course, you know what happened to her. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and carry thee out. And of course, again, what happened, what he said by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit actually happened. So that put people began to understand that, hey, this is not a club. This is the real deal. And so if we're going to stay here, we're going to have to do what he says, or either just completely run away. Otherwise, we may wind up the same way. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. So that's what that's all about. God does not like liars. God does not like hypocrites. God wants them to stop lying and also tell the truth and stop being hypocritical. That's the lesson we can learn from that. Well, we also have another one of the well-known hypocrites, Judas Iscariot. And immediately, when he had yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. So here he is. He was supposed to be one of Christ's disciples, and now he's there with the very ones who want to kill him, want to kill Christ, and he's bringing them to Christ. While he, on the one hand, he's pretending to be one of, you know, belonging to Christ, he's actually over there with the people from Satan. So that was why he was hypocritical. And immediately, yet, okay, that's okay. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, notice that, you're going to kiss him so that they can come and get him and kill him, right? How hypocritical can that be? Whomsoever I should kiss, that same is he. Take him away and lead him away safely. Now, notice what Christ said about this. And Christ already knew he was going to do it. But all of that had to come about. All of that had to come about. Okay? And as soon as he was come, he goeth straight away to him, saying, Master, Master. Well, how, if he were his master, he couldn't be his master because he was not doing what Christ had told him to do. Christ never told him to come in and actually betray him to, we'll say, to the Pharisees and also the elders so that he could be killed. He never told him to do that. So obviously he can't be the master. That's what Christ said. Why do you call me master, master, when you don't do the things I tell you to do? And so certainly he wasn't doing, Judas was not doing something Christ told him to do. Master, Master, and kissed him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayeth thou the Son of Man with a kiss? I mean, in other words, how hypocritical can you be? At least just point me out. You're going to come and kiss me like, you know, you really love me, and then you brought all these people in here to do me harm. So how hypocritical can that be? Now, you know, a lot of us don't think that, you know, we think of Peter, again, this is the way the Bible is. The Bible has a lot of good things to say about Peter. Peter did a lot of good things, but Peter also, being a man, did a lot of bad things too. He ran away and he deserted Christ. You know, when they were getting ready to actually crucify him. In another case here, also Peter played the hypocrite. So this is why he's on my well-known hypocrites list. You know, Peter, you mean to tell me Peter was a hypocrite? Yes, Peter was a hypocrite. And we'll take a look at that. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Now, this is Paul talking to Peter. This is Paul talking to Peter because he was playing the hypocrite. And we'll see, and we know the story well. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Now he's eating with the Gentiles, and you know, he's actually socializing with them, and everything is going good. And then these other people came from Jerusalem, from James. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Right? So he didn't want them to know that he was actually socializing with these Gentiles who were generally considered as dogs, we'll say, before Christ died on the cross. They were considered as dogs. They were outside of the promise. And so after Christ died, then whosoever will, let him come. Jew and Gentile were one, but they hadn't internalized it in their mind. The Jews had not internalized that in their mind. I guess it was too soon for them to get used to the fact that there were no longer Jews and Gentiles, but only Christians. And the other Jews dissemble, or they played the hypocrite. I guess that's what that word means. And the other Jews dissemble likewise with him, inasmuch that Barnabas, notice that, you know, that Barnabas was actually Paul. I mean, they were good buddies. You know, they suffered a lot together. Insomuch that Barnabas also were carried away with the hypocrisy. So there you have it, right? And so let's see what Paul is going to tell them. Paul has something for them. You know, little Paul. But Paul was another one, right? He had a zeal. This is one thing. Paul had a zeal, and a zeal is good if you're zealous for the right thing. Until he was zealous for the wrong thing, until at Damascus, right, he was struck down, and then from then on he was zealous for Christ. So you know he's not going to let this pass. You know he's not going to let him get away with this. And he says, but when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, right? So what is he going to do? I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Of course, Peter had no answer to that. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, we talked about this morning, right? That Jesus had nailed, when he went to the cross, he completed the whole law. He had nailed the law, you know, to the cross. And so he, after that, made the rules. And the problem, the confusion, is that nine of, we'll say, the commandments of the law Christ brought over, and the only one he didn't was the Sabbath. He didn't bring that one over. And so people think then that, we'll say, that, you know, the law of Moses is still in effect. No, that's the law of Christ. Because after that, then Christ was the one who had to say so. And so we don't live under the law of Moses. We live under the law of Christ. There is no such thing as Jews and Gentiles. We are
Paul, one in Christ.
So if you're not in Christ, you're nowhere. Not in Christ, then you're basically nobody and you're nowhere. So we have some other well-known hypocrites, and
I always love how Jesus, would actually confront the Pharisees, but they deserved it because they were always puffed up and they were always letting everybody know how holy they were and all this other stuff. So he's going to put them in their place.
But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Notice that. They're shutting up the kingdom of heaven. They won't let people who are on their way to the kingdom of heaven. They won't let people who are on their way to Christ to get to Christ. Notice what he's saying here now. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, right? They're not going to go in. Neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So they don't go in, they won't let anybody else go in heaven. Go into the kingdom of heaven. So that's a horrible thing. So Jesus doesn't have any good words to say about them. Woe unto you, scribes. So now the scribes are also with them. Notice that Pharisees first and then scribes and Pharisees. And if you want to insult somebody, you just call them a scribe or Pharisee, right? That's not a nice word, nice thing to say. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And proselyte simply means a follower. Right? You go everywhere. You do everything. Get somebody to follow you. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. So all they're doing is to just make him worse than they are. And so, obviously, they're not going to go into heaven, and they're not interested in seeing anybody else go in. Now, for me, that's sort of, probably the same mind that Satan had. Well, I'm already condemned, so let me get as many of these people that God loves, right, that are made in God's image to come with me, so I can get back at him. I can't do anything else to him, but I can get all these other people that he wants to come, that he loves so much to come with me, so I'm getting back at God. I already know I'm going to look at Lake of Fire, so let me get all these others to come with me. And so some of us think that, erroneously, that Satan really loves us to the point where we have Satan worshipers. You understand what I'm saying? Satan hates us, and Satan hates human beings because, in a sense, that we have an opportunity that he doesn't have. You have to understand that Satan doesn't love you. Okay? He does not love you, and you got to get that in your head. Hypocrites, right? They're pretenders. They're play actors. They're selfish. They want the praise of men. We talked about that, right? They do not admit that they have sinned and deserve to die for their sins. Because, they're good. I'm so good, whatever I do is okay. Right? Whatever I do is okay. So, there's no big deal. And we see that all the time. And we see this with people today. You can't convince them that they have sinned. Anything they do is right because they did it. Because, as we were talking about this morning, they have the right to make the laws. So they make laws so that they can get into so-called heaven, and regardless of what they do. To prove that, once saved, always saved. What's that? That's a way of getting into heaven and still you'll have your cake and eat it too, but that's not right. Once saved, always saved. So, hey, man, I can come down here, I can do anything I want, and because God loves me better than everybody else, he respects me more than he does anybody else. So he's going to let me in regardless of what I do. You can be over there. You can be righteous. You can do everything, that he tells you, but he won't let you in because you're not on the list. You're not on that special list. But that's not what God says. Hypocrites give little or no thought, and we talked about this, right? Little or no thought to what God did to forgive mankind of his sins. They give no thought to that, of how Christ died for us, right? And how he had to battle, and had to make sure that, keep all the secrets from Satan, to make sure that Satan will send somebody to kill him so that, in death, the shedding of his blood then
that he could wipe away all of our sins, and then he could become victorious, and then that we could inherit a place in heaven through him.
Hypocrites try to deceive man. They're always trying to deceive somebody, right? And also they try to deceive God, but the problem is you can't.
God knows your thoughts before you do.
We see that thing, and we open up the book in Genesis,
right? And we see that God is telling man, okay, you know, don't
be careful. You're getting ready to sin. Don't do this. As we are thinking, or before it comes to,
well, it's in our unconscious, in our subconscious mind. He already knows. Listen, before you consciously know it, he knows it.
So you can't actually deceive God. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. And
I guess also that comes about, if I took Latin.
And so I had to read a lot about the Roman gods. And the funny thing is that man was able to,
a lot of times their particular gods, they were able to fool their gods. Well, we don't have a god like that, right?
We have a God that can read our minds. And like Christ also read the minds of the Pharisees. So be careful, you can't deceive God, period. And that's it. Don't, if you want to be bad. Because he already knows that you're going to be bad. If you're going to be good, be good. Being hypocritical does you no good because he already knows your heart. Christians are genuine. Christians are sincere. Christians are unselfish. Christians desire the praise of God because that's where all of our promises and all of our treasures are, in God, right? There are no treasures over there with Satan.
I've already told you Satan hates our guts.
So there are no treasures over there. Now, there's some fool gold
over there to get you over there so that he can laugh at you
while you're down and you look like an animal and so forth. And so in a sense, our being again in God's image, he'll feel as though, oh, I got a little victory over God because I got this particular being that made in God's image who's stupid enough to listen to me. Christians are convinced that they have sinned and deserve to die for their sins. Right? We know that. We know that. Okay? Now, some people say, well,
you'll hear them always saying they want to try to make the rule. Well, the loving God wouldn't do.
Well, a person who loves God won't do,
but you never hear them say that. They always say a loving God wouldn't do this, a loving God wouldn't do.
Well, what about the person who loves God? A person who loves God will do what he says, but you never hear that. But that's what Christians say. Christians say that. A person who loves God will obey him because that's what he wants. Christians realize that what God did to forgive man of their sins. Notice, even before the world began, God already knew everything was going to happen, so he already, and that's what they say. Christ had already died
on the cross, even before the foundation of the earth. Why? Because his word says it's going to happen, and then whatever he says happened
is going to happen, it happens. So it was like it was already done. Because he knew, once he gave man free will, that man was going to make bad mistakes. and that's it. A lot of people blame God for all kinds of stuff. No. God may say, well,
you have all these migrants, right, going around and all the trouble that's happening and people moving on. Well, why doesn't God do something? Well, why didn't man listen to God before he stirred up all that stuff?
That's funny. When things are going good, man did it. When things go bad,
why don't you do something?
Well, I told you the truth. I gave you the Bible. Why don't you read it, study it, and also obey it? You wouldn't have those problems. The first bit. But it's always God when something goes wrong. Something goes wrong. Oh, man, look what I did. Christians strive to serve God. Christians try to serve man because of the fact that's what God has told us to do. And Christians are not hypocrites. Christians are not hypocrites. A person who is, so to speak, I guess you'd say a Christian hypocrite is not a Christian at all. You have to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what God wants. And if you're not doing that, you're not really a Christian. There's going to be a separation between you and God. Hypocrites try to fool God. And this is a good one. I love this. We cannot fool God. He sees and knows everything we do. Although Ahijah, we remember this, right, could not see Jeroboam's wife, God could. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, now, I'm trying to fool God, right? And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. Now, if he's a prophet and a true prophet, and God is speaking through him, you think that God is not going to tell him that she's trying to play the hypocrite? You think that God is not going to tell the prophet, the true prophet, that somebody's not playing the hypocrite? Okay. That thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over his people. And take thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child. See, he's trying to sneak in there and get all this information without anybody knowing, you know, his wife was his wife. But God, we said that God knows everything, right? You can't fool God. And Ahijah did not, and Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. He's blind. He can't see her. He's blind. Okay. But notice what happened. But God came and talked to him. God came and talked to him, right? And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam. No, he's telling them. See, he has listened to all this stuff because he's everywhere. He hears everything. So now he's going to tell Ahijah. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam comes to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in, she shall feign or either, you know, pretend to be or play the hypocrite, shall feign herself to be another woman. So they're going to trick God. You're not going to trick God. And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in the door, that he said, come in, thy wife of Jeroboam. So they're going through all this charade, but now they're going through all, the man is blind. He can't see her. She comes in, right? And then he said, oh, come on in. You know, wife of Jeroboam, why faintest thou? In other words, why are you playing this, doing this hypocritical thing? Why faintest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. So people pretend or they think that they are fooling God. You cannot fool God. So that's just as true today as it was then. You can't fool God. That's the end of that, right? You can't fool God. You may be able to fool man, but you can't fool God at all. Because he made you, he knows you, he can read your mind and everything else, and he knows the intents of your heart. In conclusion, then, a hypocrite is deceptive, for he flattereth in his own eyes until his iniquity or sin be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and not to be good. So he's not wise at all. So anybody who thinks he can fool God is not wise at all. So that's really stupidity, in other words. Don't try to fool God. A hypocrite is deceptive. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. So he sort of loves evil is okay, right? So long as it actually meets his, you know, whatever ends or goals that he has. It means nothing. And we see a lot of people like that today. And we see people who have been hypocrites for years. Isn't that funny? And then suddenly you see that all the truth begins to come out. And you say, well, that's the biggest hypocrite ever. How can he do that? How can he live 40, 50 years in that hypocrisy? But the Bible says that the truth is going to come out. You're not going to get around the truth. You know, you think you can do something for a while, and now, okay, nothing happened. Well, the Bible is not right, so nothing is happening to me. Okay, I go 50 years, I go 60, and then on your 100th year, it all comes out. You can't get around the truth. My father used to say that, you know, the truth may come back raggedy and beaten and torn and all this other stuff, but it's going to come out. It's like, for example, and I've seen, you know, this is amazing to me. I've seen concrete, and you see a little blade of grass that gets under that. And then after a while, this grass seems to just come and burst the concrete. That's the way the truth is. It's going to come and burst through the lie. Burst through the hypocrisy. So sooner or later, you're going to be found out. And then you're going to hang your head in shame. We see so many, that happening to so many people today. So it does you no good. So the final conclusion of my lesson is, do not be hypocrites because they are liars. And their ways lead to the lake of fire. And if we look at Revelation 21:8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, which are hypocrites, they are liars, right? Notice what's going to happen to them, shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So if you're a hypocrite, you know, that's what you have to look forward to. If you're a hypocrite, then what you're going to have to do then is have to come and repent, right, so that you can live righteously with Christ forever. If there are Christians who are hypocrites or who have otherwise fallen away from Christ and want to make public confessions, or if there are non-Christians who want to come to Christ, you can do so. Come forth and do so as we sing the song of invitation.